Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. We are happy you are with us tonight. And, of course, we're still working on getting some of these intros redone. This is now Reverend Terry and Robin. And Robin is my co-host on Thursday nights now. And my lady, my love, darling, are you there?
I am here, sir. Yes, I am.
All right. So you're now listening to Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. And we'll hopefully get that, some of the sound files worked up this weekend.
Sounds like a
supposed
plan.
To rain from this weekend, so I won't be able to work in the yard. So There we go. So anyway, how are you doing tonight, love?
I am well. I am enjoying the peace and quiet this evening at my house. My daughter's asleep. The dog is, I don't know where she is. She's lying down somewhere in the house very quietly. The only one out here in my hair happens to be the cat. But hopefully he'll settle down shortly and go to sleep.
Yeah, well, the cat, it's 10 o'clock is the cat's time to get active.
Yes,
we're doing your show.
It's true. Also, of course, he loves it when I'm sitting in the little, you know, alcove in our house where my computer is. And he just, for some reason, thinks that when I sit here, it's time for him to play. And get in my lap and walk on my keyboard, and he's a little crazy.
Yeah, so on Friday nights when I'm home and I engineer, then I get a chance to throw paper balls for the cat and keep him entertained so he doesn't jump up on me.
Yeah.
Hey, the cat plays fetch. I mean, I've never seen a cat play fetch.
He's the second cat I've had that does that. My first one was a black and white tuxedo. And he loved straws. And in particular, he loved straws from a particular fast food chain because they were a little wider. And I don't know, he liked the texture of them. He loved McDonald's straws. If I brought him a straw from Burger King, not so much. McDonald's straws, he was all about it. Strangest thing I ever saw.
Yeah. Well, this cat, all I got to do is wad up a piece of paper and just the sound of it wadding up. Here he comes, and then I'll throw it, and he'll chase it off through the house. and then bring it back to me. That's the part that baffled me. The first time he brought it back to me, I just sat there and looked like, really?
Cats, some cats do play fetch. It's a natural thing. You know, they catch mice all the time, and people, you hear people talking about, oh, I left the mouse on my doorstep. They like to bring things home.
Yeah, that was showing off. That was off. Hey, Mommy, hey, Daddy, look what I found. Look what I found.
Exactly.
And I brought you a present.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they do, and they bring them and present them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that I knew. I've just never seen one come present me a paper ball, you know, that I threw. But, hey, mm-hmm. it keeps him entertained, and he doesn't jump up on the keyboard while you're doing your show.
Yeah.
On a Friday night.
Yep.
But he is teaching you to save your work often, which is kind of cool.
Yes, because he jumped up on the keyboard last week after I had edited some of the bio work and it all disappeared. It was not a happy girl.
Yeah, so now you've learned to save things often.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And to be aware of when he's near me, to hit the save button. Because he can make it from the floor to the desktop in one leap. There's nothing in between. He just jumps up all of a sudden. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that night that I was sitting there and he came hurtling across, I mean, he had to have launched himself 6 feet, hit me in the chest.
Yeah. Yeah, for a big cat, he's pretty athletic.
Well, he's less big now since Uncle Dudley's moved to Arizona.
Yeah, and stop feeding him hamburger every day.
Yeah. He's back on a regular cat diet.
That's right.
He looks a lot less like Garfield.
Yeah.
He was getting in shape. Yeah, well, I mean, Dudley was getting him in shape, round as a shape.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, he was getting a lot of his head round. Actually, both the cat and the dog have lost weight since Uncle Dudley left, which is a good thing because the dog has bad hips. And
yeah, he doesn't need to be carrying any more of her around anyway.
Yeah, yep.
So anyway, enough about the critters and mm-hmm. life and stuff.
What are we
going
to do when we get goats and chickens? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just imagining the goat stories, but yeah. There's a children's song in there somewhere. You know, but anyway, so the questions we receive a lot of questions and we file them away, and then we kind of start grouping them together as they come in, and when we get a kind of a critical mass. We pull those out as a theme, and it appears that the theme for the questions this week is midsummer or the summer solstice.
Yes.
And that's kind of cool because, we'll talk more about it after you read the first question,
mm-hmm.
but I like this holiday. Of course, I like summertime. I like the sun. I grew up in the South, and it's just generally too damn cold up here.
Yeah, it is cold here in the winter.
But midsummer is just about perfect because, you know, as much as we call it midsummer, it's actually, the beginning of the summer astrologically.
Yeah.
And it's that perfect in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too hot, not too cold. It gets hotter. And by August, by August we're going to be whining and bitching.
Yes.
Because it'll be too hot up here.
Too hot.
You know, the end of June is just about perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great.
So anyway, if you would read the first question for us, please, my lady.
Sure. Let's see. It says, I have been Wiccan for several years, and there seem to be two holidays on our calendar, and she has in parentheses, Wheel of the Year, that always seem lost in the shuffle to me, the summer solstice and the autumnal equinox. Does anyone else feel like they get short shrift? How does one celebrate them at their best what kind of workings should be done at these holidays. I'm feeling a tad out of sorts over this. Wish I had a large group of Wiccan friends to discuss this with, but I live in a rural area with few people I'd even tell of my spiritual path. Suggestions? Question mark.
Wow.
It's a
lot. Well, that is kind of cool.
Yeah.
A lot of questions. Well, I mean, there. I don't know if I want to delve too deeply into the autumn equinox
mm-hmm.
on tonight's show. Maybe we'll put that one away in the file under Maybon questions, and we'll revisit this if that would be okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just deal with the midsummer or spring or summer solstice, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree that those two holidays do tend to get overlooked a little bit. Now, I celebrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm very much into the sun, and I follow a much more lunar cycle, and it's probably has something to do with my stronger connection to the god. And a lot of times, I think, because we have in some segments of the pagan societies have left the god behind,
mm-hmm.
and those stories get kind of lost in the mix, and midsummer and the autumn equinox in particular get lost in that kind of relegation of the god to a consort. And we don't really celebrate the solar aspects as well as you and I feel like we should in our seeking of balance in all things.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, part of the reason I think those holidays seem less celebrated and less talked about is, obviously the winter solstice is Yule, which is Christmas time. So it feels real holiday-y around that time of the year. Everybody is celebrating some kind of holiday.
Yeah, there's something that happens for every religion at that time of the year. Right.
Right. And then with the spring equinox, of course, it's Easter. And again, that's a time of the year where there are a lot of other holidays happening. So it feels again, more holiday-ish. And then there's sort of, these two holidays, the summer solstice and the autumnal equinox, not a lot of things happening, around that time, other than the kids getting out of school and, oh my God, what am I going to do with the kids all summer? And that sort of thing. So I think that might lend itself to why people feel or may feel that these holidays get short shrift as our question person, said. But that does
I mean, I think it's probably a combination of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly the fact that, well, gosh, there's just so much going on in life, and the kids are out of school, and there's no secular or common holidays at that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the fact that these are two of the very powerful God holidays.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think with midsummer as the height of the sun god.
Hmm.
Because this is the peak. From here, the sun diminishes.
Mm-hmm.
So the sun grows from Yule all the way to midsummer. And the day after midsummer, the days are shorter.
Yeah.
And the sun begins to diminish. So this is the absolute peak of the sun god. This is the peak of the god. This is the best it gets. And I revel in that energy. I celebrate it. I want to, embrace the fullness of that kind of energy. And so that is a, it's a powerful holiday for me. Now, I can remember, I'm not even say how many years ago, doing my first, meeting my first midsummer ritual. And, we were out at Our Haven in Indiana, and we did a ritual where we pulled the weeds from our magical gardens, our spiritual gardens. And it was such a powerful and emotional ritual. Midsummer is the only time that I really like to do ritual during the daylight. And because it is the height of the sun, of the god, I like to do it around 3 o'clock. I like that, that time period because you really feel the intensity of the sun at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on, you know, midsummer and the days on either side. It's, such an amazing, powerful time. And taking and pulling the weeds, it's time of tending also. Because we're halfway between the planting and the harvest, and it's a time when the gardens need to be tended to. And we've got to pull the weeds. You only have to pull the weeds that'll choke out the growth. So what are the weeds in our garden? You know, what did we plant in the spring that we want to grow, and what do we need to pull out? Our fears, our doubts, our prejudices, all of those things that are holding us back, that are choking the growth in our gardens. Those are the things that, that I like to concentrate on at midsummer. And then we burn them. Burn them away. Just let, you know, set fire to them, let the sun god take it. Boom. Done. And so that's one of the things that I like to do at this time of year. So I'll stop talking now because I was on a roll. I'll let you get a word in. I obviously have an opinion about this holiday.
No kidding. I do think that you are correct in that that this is one of those holidays that, gets overlooked, and it may have something to do with the fact that it really is a God holiday, and some people don't connect well with that holiday. And again, it's also, as I said, you know, it's not Easter. We did Easter already. And, you know, so what is this holiday really about? And I really think that's at the crux of all of these questions, is you need to go and read some books and do some research and reach out from within to find out what it is you're supposed to be doing at these holidays and what workings present themselves to you. It's not always going to be the same. Oftentimes things will, you know, pop into your head. Oh, this is what we need to do. This is how I'm going to celebrate. It's going to be different for everybody. That's the beauty of this path, is instead of trying to fit our lives to conform with a set of doctrine that is handed to us by somebody and says, here, this is the way you have to live, in order to call yourself one of us, we sort of say, well, you know, we have this framework, and we have ethical code. The rest is up to you. You know, as long as you're, you know, sort of inside this code and you're sort of following along with the holidays, how you celebrate them is really up to you. And
very true. You know, and we also have the framework with the Wheel of the Year of the story. I've been, with the guided meditations we've been doing with the Sabbath rituals, we've been following kind of an agrarian path, how our ancestors, our agrarian ancestors would have lived. And that's why I think of the midsummer as a tending and weeding and, you know, kind of season. But there's also the god and goddess story, the archetypal story that overlays all of this, where, you know, this is the lover becomes the father at midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
That transition, and there's that peak of the masculine that begins to diminish from there forward. You know, as I mentioned in my comments earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that theme exists, the agrarian theme exists. And then, you know, take that framework and go with it where you will.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a framework, it's a loose framework even. But that gives you certainly some, some framework, some reference within which to work, and helps you to understand the stories. And to me, I like to go back and try to understand what were our ancestors thinking at this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, we are so far away from the land anymore.
True. That's very true.
And we're working on correcting that at the mountain. But,
mm-hmm.
and I've been writing about this for, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that so many people think that, meat comes on a plastic tray with plastic over it, styrofoam tray with plastic over it. They have no idea of where that comes from. They have no idea of what it takes to grow food. You know, corn comes in a can. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're so far removed from the from their food that we don't have any idea of the of what we do and how our ancestors had to live and how farming works. And that connection to the land is broken, and that's why I'm so usually so much on following the agrarian cycle of the year as we go through the season.
Cool. That's very true.
So what other thoughts did you have? Let's go back to the question and see if we've covered it.
How does one celebrate
run this amount?
Yeah. How does one celebrate them at their best? What kinds of workings should be done at these holidays?
Well, should's a strong word.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's,
what are some suggestions? What are some suggested workings? Now, we can do that. We can throw out some of our ideas, and I already have thrown out a couple of mine, and I would encourage, I would love to hear yours. But it should, I don't know if I would go to should. That's too, too liturgical for me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, here we go. Red is saying barbecue, good fire, music, and not quite sure what the last word is supposed to be.
I think it's supposed to be
and bow.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Yeah. Well, that sounds good. I think we should pick up a big-ass grill this weekend so we've got one for next summer.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And Rose saying her spelling sucks.
Yeah,
so, I think I do plan to get a big old huge hunk of pig and start smoking it maybe on, start the smoker on Friday night and tend it overnight and have a... Say again?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I heard some voice come in here. Wow, that was interesting. Okay.
We need medication. Should I be worried?
I'm just fine, darling. You're just young. No. Don't want me to start sounding like Mickelson again, do you? Okay. Who is that I was talking to I told somebody, you want to go there? We'll go there. And you said I sounded so much like Nicholson.
Yeah. You can't handle the truth. No.
Yeah, right. And what was it I told that person? You want to go there? We'll go there. And then I went there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
But anyway, we digress. Mainly I digress. I'm trying.
Are we going to answer this question at some point tonight? This poor woman.
Which question? Well, I'm going to give him some suggestions. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, you're waiting for me? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was my turn.
When are you going to give us some suggestions? You know, I already said something about pulling the weeds, tending, that sort of thing.
Well, okay. So at midsummer, normally for me, it's about inviting people to the house, and it's about feeding people, and it's about creating community and sharing the new light, the longer days, and celebrating that, and the coming of the warmer weather. I don't know. See, for me, whenever there's a solstice, I always celebrate the new dawn, because the sun is really what's being celebrated, and so I usually try to get up and watch the sunrise on the solstices, and I use that quiet time of reflection in the mornings to write a poem, or just sometimes I'm inspired to write a song. It depends, but that's me, and that's how I do it. And other than that, it's about, as I said, you know, being with friends and family and creating community and enjoying the longer day, and just your typical summer barbecue. You kick back and relax and be with people that you love. As far as celebrating them with the gods, whenever you get together with your family and your friends and you are in a loving space, that is honoring your gods. That is taking care of your people and, again, having community. And really, that's what they would love to see. I know I go back to this a lot. I always think of the gods as my parents. And if your parents see that you're happy and you're surrounded by people who love you and they're your friends and you're having a good time and you're in a good space, it's going to make them happy.
Yeah, because our gods do want us to be happy.
Absolutely. I don't hold for all this gloom and doom stuff. I don't think they put us here to suffer and you know, gloom and doom and, oh, my goodness. I think that, you know, when you have children, you genuinely want them to have a better life than you've had. And I don't see why deity wouldn't feel that way themselves. They want us to be happy and to live the best way that we can.
I agree with you completely.
Some of us are more successful at it than others, but...
Well, it's funny that Roe had the same idea that, you know, we've been talking about. We've got the fire pit ready.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get my grill over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're planning on having good food, a fire, we'll get the drums out, and good company. And that pretty well covers it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how we celebrate around it. Now, what are some of the workings that you would suggest during the ritual itself?
Oh, I think it's a really good time to use the solar energies for healings, for people that, you know, are gathered there. And just about anything having to do with, coming to fruition, because you know we've planted stuff in the ground, and now it's starting to come up and bear fruit, and you know it's coming to its end, it's coming to fruition, and bounty, and anything having to do with prosperity and bounty, you know, it depends on what you need too. I mean, you can make just about any holiday fit your need, which is one of the wonderful things, you know,
yeah,
about this path. As I said before, you can do whatever you need.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I don't know that there's just that there are specific themes you have to stick to, but those are some of the more common themes, I think, that people utilize at this, you know, for solstice, summer solstice.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I'm drawn to the tending, because I think of the coming to fruition and the harvesting. We have the three harvest festivals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the grain harvest at Lunasa, and then you've got the fruit harvest at Mabon, and then the final harvest and everything just before sowing. So I tend to think of those as the harvest, as the fruition. And that's why I tend to do, you know, think of tending, the in-between place.
Right.
So, but it's cool. So, you know, those of our listeners that are not aware, Robin and I have known each other for a couple of years, but we've not been working together and, you know, being together as a couple, you know, but about, 7 months, 8 months now?
Mm-hmm.
And we're still doing holidays and Sabbaths together for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of cool when we can have this conversation and exchange ideas. And so you guys get to, you know, participate in our conversation about, you know, learning each other and how we do things. And you guys get to be a part of it. So,
that's true.
Welcome aboard.
Very true.
But we are past the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
And I think it's time we play a song.
Oh,
and
you may be correct, sir.
And collect our thoughts and prepare for the second question, because I think we've beat that first one up pretty well.
Okay.
So let's listen to Darv the Bard, rather, sing about land, sea, and sky. And we'll be back here in a few minutes. Everybody stick around. Thanks for being with us.
Gone before mystics and saints. I hear your reply. Oh, this town is so cold. Neon magicians, they offer the fools their gold. For there is somewhere I'd rather be. In your warm places with the land and the sky and the sea.
Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, You may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia. Yeah, man. I love our music. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing well.
All right, this is Reverend Terry and my lady and my partner, Robin, and we are back, and we are under a shady tree,
I just want to say that I am not Onyx, as the ad there in the middle of the show there. Reiterated. I know we have to change those, so we'll change those soon. But it's not Onyx that you're hearing with a bad cold or something. It's just little old me.
It's more than just little old you. You're more than that to me.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, under a shady tree kind of reminds me of Monday. When we were actually sitting out under a shady tree and talking about the weekend and talking about our plans and life and stuff. And we were actually sitting out under a shady tree. It was kind of cool.
That's true.
I hadn't connected the two until just now, but there we are. Anyway, so before the break, we were talking about Midsummer and its meanings and how to celebrate it and that sort of thing. And it kind of segues into our second question tonight, which is, well, I'll just read it as is and let you take it from there. So, I like to change my altar at the cross quarters of the year. So at the equinox and solstice, I clean up, change candle, color themes, and such on my altar. I'm sort of looking for some inspiration of what things should be on my altar for the summer solstice. Any ideas? I listen to your shows a lot, and you always seem to have such good advice for others. Thank you. And let's see, this time I'm hoping you'll have some advice for me. Well, I'm going to jump in and say one thing before I hand this off to my lady. Again, the word should is showing up in these questions. And again, should is too liturgical. We don't have liturgical colors. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, what we want to do. And now I'm going to ask my lady to take first shot at this.
Okay. Well, I do think that it's a great idea every once in a while to clean up your altar. And I think that that should be a ritual act. You should, you know, it should be dedicated to the maintaining of the altar and your relationship with your deity. And it should be a an act of service. Also, as far as colors and things like that, again, you know, it goes to really what speaks to you. I mean, at this time of the year with this summer solstice, I might think yellows and reds and oranges, green. You know, but everybody's different because some people would say yellow, red, and orange are fall colors. But I always think of those colors as being related to the sun. And so for me, that would be summer solstice. For other people, it might be blues and purples. I don't know. But that's how it would appeal to me if I were going to be looking for candle color themes and that sort of thing. I guess other than that, just cleaning up the gods on my altar and getting rid of the ashes and the wax and, you know, that sort of thing is the kind of thing that I do when I clean it up. You can change your altar cloth if you have one. You know, I don't know. I'm like the the witch that lived at the edge of the village. It doesn't really matter to me what color candle I use. The color of the candle is sometimes nice to have, but it's not integral to the way I work because it's all, for me, it's all about energy raising and intent.
Yeah. Well, in a perfect world,
mm-hmm.
There are some things that I like to do at each of the holidays. Now, I'll start off by saying that I like to use, and the altar that we had up at the Celtic Cross Farm,
mm-hmm.
What we did is we had a glass top table, and we would keep keep a white altar cloth that came all the way to the ground. It was a circular table, and the circular altar cloth came all the way to the ground. And that stayed there. It would get taken off and washed, but it stayed there pretty much year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically table runners were usually crossed, or scarves of some sort were crossed across the flight to for the colors of the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And then the glass tabletop was put back on it. So any dripping wax went onto the glass, and it's a hell of a lot easier to clean than getting
mm-hmm.
Than getting wax out of a silk scarf.
Yeah.
You know, in all of my trips to the Middle East, I always come back with cloths that are colored, and I see them, and I say, okay, that one's going to be an altar cloth. And you know, so I almost always bring back at least one scarf to be used for the altar.
Unless you go there with me and I steal it from you as a
I bought this beautiful scarf that was intended to be an altar cloth, and now she wears it. Thing is, it looks really damn good on her, so I really couldn't complain too much because I did pick out that beautiful scarf, and you wear it, and you mm-hmm. wear it really well.
Thank you.
So those are some of the things that I do, mainly because it freshens things up. The white cloth gives me a cover all the way to the floor, so you don't see the base of the table and all of that. I like to do that, keep that color, that white cloth, and then I can decorate it with all kinds of scarves or whatever I want to do,
mm-hmm.
and change out the colors for every Sabbath. Even if I just change one of the two scarves, At midsummer, I really like yellows and oranges,
mm-hmm.
Particularly yellows.
Yeah.
You know, that bright sun yellow. Everything about midsummer speaks to me about the sun, so anything yellow. Decorating the altar with yellow flowers. If you're one that likes to put flowers on your altar, well, you know, yellow flowers would be, you know, certainly a significant way of doing it. I like to use gold and yellow candles. If I'm just using a working candle, it's not going to be, you know, lit for a purpose. You know, of course, whenever possible, I try to use a color corresponding to a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's probably a whole nother show,
mm-hmm.
you know, on color magic. We could talk mm-hmm. about that ad nauseum. But, you know, if it's just a working candle, I will typically use, you know, yellow or white at midsummer, just because I like yellow at midsummer. And everything tends to take on that scene. On my personal altar at midsummer.
It's funny.
So I don't know if I covered it.
Yeah, it's funny for me. Daisies have always represented midsummer for me, and sunflowers.
Yeah.
And you know the daisies are sort of that yellow center with the white petals, and of course sunflowers
yeah.
are sunflowers. They're yellow, and you know they feed the birds and.
And there are some flowers. Here, I get
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. You know, I always like to have something, you know, some flower or plant-based object, whether it's a, you know, there's actually flowers that were picked from the garden or if it was, you know, gourds later in the season or, you know, holly at Yule. Some
mm-hmm.
plant-based something, because again, I keep going through that agrarian cycle. So I always want something growing, something plant-based, whenever possible, to be a part of the altar.
Yep, agreed.
So, any particular decorations other than the flowers that you
well,
think of at midsummer?
I don't know, a representation of the sun. I mean, an orange. You could, you know, use that as a representation for the sun, or you could make a, you know, you could make a family craft for the altar. You know, get out the Play-Doh or the Sculpey, you know, modeling clay at your local, you know, craft store, and you could sit around and have the kids make little suns to put on the altar. There's nothing that kids love more than that, and then you can explain to them why you're making suns. And what they're for and what they represent. And that's always a great way to teach the kids a little bit of something, too.
You know what else is kind of cool at this time of year? And I've done this as well.
What?
How about at midsummer, the kids help make basically just sugar cookies, round sugar cookies to be used for the cakes and ale portion of the evening
mm-hmm.
or the activity. And use just yellow icing and then get the colored gels and let them put smiley faces on them and make little sun cookies.
Mm. Yeah,
that can be distributed during the ritual. And then the kids are involved. Again, you can teach them. And mm-hmm. it's edible.
Yep.
So they become a part of the ritual itself.
Right. Nice. I don't know. I was having a hankering today, and maybe it's that time of year, you know. I was having a hankering today for lemon cake, like a lemon bundt cake with that little bit of, you know, simple syrupy kind of royal icing, just like sugar and water. That's at this time of year is really the only time I ever really crave that kind of cake, because you know me, I love chocolate, and if it's not chocolate, why bother eating
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But at this time of year, a little lemon cake with some ripe berries. Oh my gosh, there's nothing better. And some homemade fresh whipped cream, which let me just put a plug in here, people. If you buy whipped cream in a can, I don't understand you. If you've ever tried just taking, and it's the easiest thing in the world, you take a container of heavy whipping cream from the supermarket and you put it in a bowl and you whip it with a little bit of either granulated sugar, if you don't have confectioner's sugar, it doesn't matter. You can use either, just a little bit to taste, you know, and just let the electric mixer go until it's soft peaks. There's nothing better in the world, and it is the simplest thing, and it's something the kids can make. My daughter, she's 9, she makes it all the time. And,
yeah,
you know, just, again, simple, easy food, and that stuff in the can, it's horrible chemicals.
Garbage.
Oil. Yeah.
Now, Niv said lemon glaze, and that's what I was going to jump in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was waiting for you to finish the
mm-hmm. yes,
your going on.
Yep,
I love the
lemon
glaze. Instead of using water or milk with the confectioner sugar to make the drizzle, I do
mm-hmm.
it with lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon juice, just putting the lemon juice and confectioner sugar and drizzle it on to the bundt cake like you were talking about, and just drizzle it across, and that sweet tart with the bread of the lemon cake. Oh my
mm-hmm.
gosh. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Trev joined us in the chat room.
Oh, hey. Hi, Trev Nelson. How are you?
Good to have you with us. And you can type in the chat room tonight. This is good.
Awesome.
yeah. So, anyway, I think we should start wrapping up, though, since it is now coming up on the top of the hour, and you've got kids at 6 in the morning, and I've got to get up and go to work before I can come home tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you need to be well rested for the long drive home.
Yeah, the lemon glazed sugar cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, Niv. Mm-hmm. And the kids can put little smiley faces on them, and suddenly they're sun cookies.
Yep.
Boom, done. Yeah. And that makes a great cakes and ale for the ritual and helps us ground after the working. Before we end the ritual. So there we are. So
before we sign off, I just want to say one thing. Somebody who's actually in the room tonight and who is a regular attendee of pretty much all our stuff is going to be having surgery in the morning, and I just want to wish her all the best and tell her that I love her and that I'll talk to her tomorrow after the surgery. But if everybody here could just send a secret wish of love to Free Spirit in the chat room, I would appreciate that.
We love you, Ro.
Yeah, Ro, we love you.
All right. So final thoughts on the evening.
Final thoughts on the evening are that everybody should celebrate and have fun and be with family and friends if you can. And even if you can't, treat yourself to something. Maybe you're going to make yourself some of those lemon cookies and do something for you that embodies the season and the holiday, even if it's something small. Plant some flowers in the garden or buy yourself, you know, a yellow scarf. I mean, do something. Do something to celebrate the season. We should probably also maybe talk about the best way for the people out there to get in touch with us. Terry, what do you think?
Well, absolutely.
Okay. So in order to reach Terry or myself, you can write to littlestonebridge@gmail.com. I also have my spiritual wellness and physical health page on Facebook. There is also Terry's Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power HP on Facebook. And then there's the Spiritual
Unity.
I'm telling him. I'm sorry. And then there's the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.org. You can also send email to. And Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook, of course. And then there's the email for the radio station. If you really hated everything you heard tonight and you want to complain, or
you
really
loved it and want to tell us all about it,
exactly. And yeah,
or
you really loved this and thought we were out. we were wonderful. You can write us at CERN, S-U-R-N, .org@gmail.com. So that's CERN.org@gmail.com to get in touch with us through the station. And incidentally, if you listen to a show and you want to try to get in touch with somebody who we had as a guest, that is the best way to get in touch with us, CERN.org@gmail.com, and any of those guests that you might want to get in touch with. Like Trev Nelson, who was on the show last night.
Two nights ago.
Sorry. My days are running together. Yeah.
And Ned, Robin is not cheating. She didn't write it down. I wrote it down and then I copied it.
So, he sent
there.
It to me. It was a subtle hint. Here.
Here's your swim by four, lady. So, final thoughts on Midsommar. Wow. I gotta agree with Robin. Celebrate. Just celebrate. Enjoy. Again, for me, this is a time of tending. And sometimes that tending is just to spend time with family and tend to your relationships and tend to the people around you. If you're in a contemplative mood, I would think about the things that are choking out your garden, fears, doubts, angers, frustrations, any harbored resentments, and pull those out, get rid of them. That's something that you can do if you're in a contemplative mood. And certainly, Ro had the right idea, and we share that idea. We're going to have good food, a bonfire, well, maybe not a bonfire, but a campfire, and people around, and we're going to celebrate and enjoy life.
Yep.
And celebrate life with all of our friends, and there's no better way to celebrate Midsommar than to enjoy.
That's right. And it'll be good to see some of the people that are coming to the mountain. I know Niv will be here, and I know Roseanne's going to try to be here, barring anything unforeseen. So I'm really looking forward to it. A bunch of other people as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Indeed. I am looking forward to kind of a mini home gathering.
Mm-hmm.
An in-gathering of the family.
Yep,
the extended family. And I'm really excited. I'm going to get to meet some people face-to-face that I've communicated with and some I've only heard about.
Mm-hmm.
Some I've met once or twice. And I'm looking forward to it from the perspective of being your partner now, and us sharing that high priest and high priestess role together, and it's going to be very, very different and very cool for me, and I'm getting excited about it. So
that's nice.
I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
You're not terrified of meeting all my weird friends, all my weird and wonderful friends.
I know they're no weirder than me. So.
There's Jack again.
Here's John.
Mm-hmm.
You know that line was ad-lib?
Yes, I do. I did read that somewhere.
In The Shining, that was, he thought the scene was boring, and he was cutting up with everybody, and while the camera was rolling, he stuck his face in through the hole and said, "Here's Johnny," and it was so damn creepy that the director kept it. And it was done once ad-libbed, and that became the iconic scene from The Shining. So anyway, with that said, go out and celebrate and enjoy.
Yes.
Enjoy every day. Enjoy life. Live life.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back next week. Actually, we're going to be on Tuesday night with a full moon ritual. So join us. What have you got going on tomorrow night?
Oh, let's see. Let's consult the handy-dandy calendar. Tomorrow night. Oh, I don't know. There's nothing on the calendar. I have to look in my other calendar, the one I carry in my purse, and see.
Okay, so it's a surprise, everybody.
It is a surprise.
But you and Lisa will be on the air.
Yes, we will. We'll be there, and there will definitely be something fun happening because we are always just fun. Maybe we'll do an ask.
Yeah, well, you and Lisa get together, and there's always something interesting going to happen.
Yes, we always are talking about something.
Yeah, Midsummer Craftiness, if you don't already have that on the list somewhere.
Yeah, she may kill me, though, if I come up with another craft show.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
She can pull Midsummer Craft out of her hat.
Yeah, she could. Yes, she she can.
You could surprise her with it, and she'd do 2 hours.
I know. She's so good that way. And you two are funny because for our listeners who are listening, when I put Lisa and Terry in the room together, I should just go take a walk because the two of them start talking about hot glue guns and how to, you know, the best way to do this and the best way to do that. It's just awful. And can you sew this and blah, 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 and you know how to do that? And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go and take a break. Let them talk about crafts while I'll be over here.
Well, I'm a crafty kind of guy. I look at something and I want, and I see something and, you know, that's really cool. How am I going to build it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I will build it, make it, fix it, whatever myself before I go out and spend money because my love and my energy and my essence is in it. If I can make it, then it's better, I think.
Yep.
And I got the scroll saw now, so I'll be down in the basement playing with blocks of wood and the scroll saw, and no telling what I might come up with. For those of you that saw the pictures, you see the staff that I made with the antler. There's one or two or three more of those coming,
mm-hmm.
and. A few wands, a wand made out of that same, made from the same tree as my staff came from. And that's almost ready to have a crystal point put into it and some decorations. So, anyway, I'll just make it before I buy it. Anyway, so that's getting started talking about crafts now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
You see what I mean? See what I mean?
Yeah, this is exactly it, yeah. So, Trev, I'm glad that you found us tonight. Of course, we're here every night with something. Let's see. Right now, the live shows are Monday is our Armchair Archaeologist with Visions of the Past. Tuesday night is my show, The Power Hour. And this coming Tuesday, we're going to be doing Full Moon. Thursday nights is the Full Moon Ritual. And then, of course, Thursday nights is Terry and Robin and
mm-hmm.
Your Question. And then Friday is Robin and Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health. And then on Sundays is... Lady Elizabeth Hamilton and the Variety Show.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got something live 5 nights a week, and we've got some rebroadcasts for a couple of nights while we make some changes here at the station. So I want to thank everybody for being with us. Thank you for your patience as we've rambled for the last 10 minutes wrapping up. We love you guys, and we're here for you. Robin and I could very easily sit and have this conversation and not share it with you. We could just be on the phone. But we enjoy our friends and all of our listeners and knowing that we reach out. And if we touch one person heard an answer they needed tonight, then we've done our job.
Mm-hmm.
If one person leaves going, we've done our job. So thank you all for being with us. And stick around or, come back. Come back. We're here every night. So come share it with us. You have a choice about how you're going to spend your time, and you chose to spend it with us. How cool is that for us? Thank you. My lady?
Good night, all, and spread the love.
And may you have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.